The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Big day for the government tomorrow as it launches its plan for living with COVID-19 for the next 9 months or so. It's a document that's going to replace the roadmap for reopening the country, which applies at present. It's going to feature a range of new restrictions based on the levels of the virus in any given part of the country. So, how is it likely to work, and is it all really necessary? We have with us Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, Dr. Tomás Ryan, Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. But first, Priscilla Lynch, Clinical Editor of The Medical Independent. Now, how clear is this plan from the government likely to be? How easy is it going to be for people to know what applies to them?
Well, it's going to be pretty straightforward. It's going to be a system of alerts, and it's going to be from one level 1 to level 5, level 1 being the least severe and 5 being the most severe. And it's about the restrictions that will be in place while we have to live with the virus. So it's going to be in place for some time, and currently we're at level 2. So level 5, as I said, is the most severe level, and that would bring us back to, say, March when we were in full lockdown. But this is a situation the government is obviously very keen to avoid and doesn't wish to return to. So it's looking more likely that we will have more localised versions of the alert system being perhaps in parts of Dublin or in other parts of the country. So it's going to be a simple enough system, and people are going to be aware of what the country is like at any one time and what restrictions would be likely as they see cases rising.
You say parts of Dublin. Is it possible that we could have Dublin subdivided for the purposes of having tighter restrictions?
Well, it had been floated, I suppose, in the last week or two that Dublin could possibly be heading into a localised lockdown like we saw with Kildare and Leash and Offaly, but that hasn't come to fruition. And obviously Dublin is such a massive county that it doesn't look likely that there could be travel restrictions, but it is likely that they could put in place restrictions on the amount of people that people are meeting or on perhaps on particular businesses being open. And we do know that it's not just the whole of Dublin, obviously, that's impacted by the rise in cases, that it can be higher in certain regions. So they have to look at, really, I suppose, the particular areas and where the cases are, whether they're localised outbreaks, community transmission, or if they're associated with perhaps, you know, meat plants or other businesses like that.
Okay. And is it likely that tomorrow we will hear that Dublin is already in a higher category than the rest of the country, and that more stringent restrictions associated with Category 3 will be given to them rather than Level 2 for the rest of the country?
Well, that's what's been talked about. The rest of the country is in level 2 at the moment, and we know that Dublin is kind of heading towards level 3. So there could be some localised restrictions there, but as mentioned, they wouldn't be as stringent as a localised lockdown like the counties of Kildare and those so previously. So again, it could be about limiting the number of people that could visit different households. And NPHET has advised just about the reopening of pubs, which are still due to go ahead on the 21st, that possibly that could be held back in the Dublin region, but the government will probably announce whether or not they're going to make that move tomorrow.
But why? The numbers at present, because a lot of people are worried that we're now into three-figure numbers each day of new confirmed COVID-19 cases. But if the majority of these cases are mild, indeed many of them are asymptomatic, requiring very few people having to go to hospital, let alone being in ICU, why is it necessary to do this at a stage when the illness is seemingly having minor effects?
Well, I suppose they're taking a lot of measures into play when they're looking at their decisions. And yes, there is a lower amount of people in hospital now than there would have been some months ago, but there's 60 currently in hospital, 11 in ICU, but that number has increased slowly but steadily in the last month. And we know that the majority of cases in the last month have been in those under the age of 45, about 70-75%. But even yesterday, we know that below 70% of cases, that amount had kind of reduced again. So we are slowly seeing an increase in older people getting the virus again. Last week at the HSC press briefing, they did mention that there has been an increase in cases in over 75s and over 85s in the last couple of weeks. While that number is small, it is growing. And while we've had very, very few deaths in the last month, they do believe that there's going to be an increase in that number in the coming weeks. And some younger people are being hospitalised as well with the virus. So at the moment, it's relatively, the hospitals have it under control, you could say, but it is something that is going to creep up, and it's something that they want to make sure that they're not caught unawares of, and that when the cases are increasing in certain areas, they try and clamp down on that particular increase, because it can increase very quickly. They were afraid that the number of daily cases in Dublin could actually double within a couple of weeks if the trajectory had continued the way it is continuing. So there's a lot of factors there to take into play and to try and keep the virus from overwhelming particular regions.
Okay, Dr. Tomás Ryan, without wishing to go down the route of those who are against the use of face masks, who don't want to socially distance, who want to throw everything open saying that this is no worse than a mild cold or flu. Is there not an argument, though, that the more we learn about this illness and how it progresses, given that it is a new phenomenon that we're experiencing, is there not a danger that we may be, in some respects, overreacting to something which is not putting that many people into hospitals at present?
No, I don't think so. The important thing to remember is it's exactly the same virus as it was in March and April. So we're at risk of ending up in a similar situation. And we don't want to end up in that situation. No one wants to have a lockdown or anything like it. But if we keep going the way we're going, that's going to be what will eventually happen, because we're overwhelmed the healthcare system again. The cases are going to double in Dublin if we keep going as we're going. They have been steadily increasing for 2 months. So we need to take action. Now, some people will take the view that we shouldn't engage in anything until we absolutely have to. But if we do that, then the action that we'll end up taking will be something like a lockdown, and no one wants that. So it's a better idea to steer the ship when you're further away from the iceberg, because then you can hopefully go around it, and you don't have to rely on these heavy-scale mitigation measures like a national lockdown or lots of local lockdowns. So I think it's very sensible to take earlier precautionary measures to find a way of hopefully suppressing the virus. Currently, we're not suppressing the virus. Currently, we're on a steady but slow increase. So I welcome very much what sounds to be a progressive, graded, and regional strategy from the government, because it represents a turning point in how we'll hopefully be able to manage the virus in the country.
But Tomás, is it possible that it's not going to be possible to suppress the virus? So in a situation like that, you mentioned the reason we had the lockdown originally was because our health system couldn't cope. 6 months on, would we not be better off just making sure that our hospitals are in a better place to cope, having more capacity available, and that we have a better testing and tracing system available to allow us to live with something that can't be eliminated?
Well, there's no country in the world that has an ICU capacity that's capable of letting this virus rip into the population. So you have to make a choice. You can either mitigate, which means occasional lockdowns and restrictions, which is currently what we've been doing so far, unfortunately. You can suppress, which, yes, I agree, would result in, would require a heavy, fine test, trace, isolate situation and very sensible, well-observed social distancing measures, which we're not doing perfectly, and mask wearing and hand hygiene and a well-organized society. Or you can try to eliminate it entirely, as has been done in Taiwan, New Zealand, and most of China. All three options are clearly possible. The problem with where we are right now, so let's move away from overall strategy and what is the best thing for everyone. If you think about where we are right now, we've been slipping backwards for some time. We are in a mitigation situation, and we need to figure out how to suppress the virus. Everybody agrees that we want to suppress the virus, because if you live in mitigation, it always means you're imposing these very heavy measures just to keep things under control. So moving from here to suppression basically means we need to get us into a situation where every county, starting from tomorrow, asks itself, how do I get to level one? So if you're Dublin, you're probably going to be level three, and you're worried about slipping into level four. And every other county will be level two, except Kildare may be level three also. And the goal has to be for each county, how do we get to level one? And at the beginning, unfortunately, that's going to be through social distancing, hand hygiene, and restrictions, because our test, trace, isolation infrastructure is seemingly at its limits. So we're going to need very clear guidance from government as to not just what each level is, but how do we as a community in our county travel to level one, and then how do we keep it there? But the reality is that getting to level one, getting from level three or level two to level one, may involve some degree of restrictions.
Okay. I'll go back to Priscilla in a moment because I do want to get more detail as to what will be involved in Level 3 as we anticipate. And also there are listeners who want to know about other health issues if they're perhaps been overlooked by this emphasis that we have on COVID-19. But Dan O'Brien, the Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, is with us as well. Because Dan, consistently over the last 6 months, you have pointed out that this is not just a public health issue, that there are economic considerations that have to be taken into account as well. How confident are you that this new level 1 to level 5 system will take those really realistic economic issues into account sufficiently?
Well, look, let's wait and see, Matt. I haven't been asking people on the inside for a sort of heads up on this, so let's just wait till it comes out. But, you know, what I can talk about is the economic effect. And, look, you know, we're in mass unemployment. You know, this is we've plunged into the deepest recession that anyone alive has ever experienced, and we don't know where we're going to go. And, you know, governments could run out of money. We may not have money to pay for any kind of health service by 12 months from now. So it's a pretty frightening situation economically, and I don't think that's got enough attention in the discussion around this, you know, whole disaster that's befallen us.
You see, that's why I asked you to join us on the program, Dan, because it's things like, I just take one example, travel restrictions. There are people who would say, like, don't allow any flights into the country. But if you actually do that, if all the airlines collapse, what then happens in the future if we don't have all the air routes that we've become used to?
Well, this, you know, I think we need a question of proportionality here. And, you know, one of the things I would hope for in the plan that comes out tomorrow is that there will be trigger points that are clear to the public. So, you know, both Priscilla and Tomás there mentioned a steady increase in numbers of people in hospital. And that's absolutely, I'm looking at the graphic here in front of me now. It's gone up very steadily. There are 60 people in hospital with COVID right now. Let's just recall, okay, at the worst, there were 15 times that amount. And not only that, the numbers in hospitals exploded in the second half of March into April. We're not seeing anything like that. We're seeing steady. And, you know, the question we need to ask is, are the things that we're doing now, more hand washing, use of face masks, all the precautions that we're taking now that we weren't taking in the first half of March when the disease was spreading amongst the population and then caused that explosion, are they enough? Are they proportionate? And, you know, as a non-medic who just looks at a lot of data, I can't find anywhere around the world where you're getting the same sort of explosion again, these same sort of big increases in deaths and hospitalizations that we had back in March, because the whole world is behaving differently. And if we are to take more restrictions, I think the government needs to say, look, we need hospitalizations. We'd only do this if hospitalizations start rising at an accelerating rate where we think it could be emulating what happened back in the second half of March. But if it isn't, and things start remain steadily rising, and it is more like an annual flu, then I think probably the measures we're taking right now are proportionate. But proportionality is needed, because if, you know, we are in a mass unemployment situation, we face very grave economic risks within the next 12, 18 months, and they have to be considered as well.
Dan O'Brien, Tomás Ryan, thank you for joining us. I just want to finish with you, Priscilla Lynch, Clinical Editor of the Medical Independent, because if the restrictions we're living under throughout the country at present are regarded as level 2, just tell us, for those in a level 3 situation, what might the difference be?
Well, currently we're allowed to have 6 people from up to 3 households visit us in our homes. And if we did go up another level, we could limit the amount of people that could be coming to visit us and from the amount of households that they could be visiting from as well. We do know that in the UK they've moved to restrict the visits between households as well. And then obviously we know that this plan is about living with the virus in the medium to long term. I know it seems very pessimistic, but it's all about trying to make it easier for people to understand why restrictions are in place and what will happen of numbers increase. But as Dan has pointed out, there's a lot of considerations there for the economy as well, and how do we continue our health service operating as fully as it can and safely as it can? And we do know a lot more about testing, tracing and dealing with this virus than we did know in March. We're a lot better prepared for it as well. So it is all about living with these restrictions and obviously trying to minimise the number of those people who have the virus. We're continuing to test people in nursing homes as well to try and make sure that the virus doesn't spread among nursing homes as it did previously, where we saw 55% of deaths to date from the virus in nursing homes. So it is hoped that we can try and prevent those who are most vulnerable from this virus while continuing to keep as much of the economy open as possible. And there is a focus on this plan on keeping childcare facilities and schools open as much as possible, unless we are in the very severe stages of lockdown, which would be level 4, level 5.
Priscilla Lynch, Clinical Editor of the Medical Independent, thank you for joining us on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.